Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctors Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Surviving the winter.
You know, little snow, little rain, little whatever, 50-degree weather once in a while.
It's been rather erratic.
It's kind of up and down, you know?
It has been kind of up and down.
You know, and you go to Cleveland, and it's just cold.
Actually, it hasn't been bad in Cleveland.
Really? I mean,
there have been times when it's been warmer there than it's been down here in Columbus.
No kidding.
Well,
That big bathtub that they got up there.
I have learned what lake effect snow is.
Yeah. out where on the east side where you work, that will get you some lake effect snow.
It will get you. But praise God, I've been making it back and forth safely every time with the assistance of my guardian angel, who I talk to quite frequently on
the way
there.
Nice clouds come and suck that water out of Lake Erie, and then they dump it.
Right. It's on great. Where I am.
That's right.
That's
I know.
That's right. Well, Will, we kind of have a catch-up show today, something we've been meaning to do but we haven't done in a while, and that's to catch up with our medical students.
I know.
And to meet some new medical students who are with us. And, you know, we like to know what's going on with the medical students, especially those who are involved with the Catholic Medical Association student section here at Ohio State University. And in studio with us today, we have Michael Donetto, right? Elizabeth Matheson, and Prisca Kibbe, correct? Welcome to
Close
the Catholic
enough.
Doctor
Close
Show.
Close enough. You almost got it.
It's good to have you all here. Now, Michael and Elizabeth, you've been on the show before. Prisca, you've never been on. So we're going to make sure you're on 90% of the time.
That's right.
Just to make you even more nervous than you already are. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, you and I, we've talked about this before. It's probably more difficult now to be going through medical school as a faithful Catholic than it was when we were going through medical school.
I couldn't have done it. I don't know. I was too chicken. You guys impress me that you actually have the wherewithal to stand up to the prevailing winds that are out there.
Right. So, Michael, we first met you when you were in your first year, right? And now you're in your third year?
This year I'm actually doing a MBA. I should be in my third year starting in
May. So it's a quasi medical student.
Right. So that's probably a smart thing to be doing.
That is.
Is to be getting your MBA right now.
I hope it is. Hopefully use it to help improve efficiency, quality metrics in healthcare wherever I work.
That sounds like a great idea. And Elizabeth Matheson, I know you're in your third year and you've been with us almost every year and you've been on other productions of the Catholic Doctors Show. Welcome back, and tell us what's going on in your third year right now. What are you doing?
Right now, I am doing my internal medicine rotation, which has been really fun to get into the throes of what medicine is and see really sick patients and just really delve into some of the complicated cases. It's right. Definitely a stretching experience. I always feel like I'm a little bit over my head.
Do you ever feel like when you're rounding at like 6 in the morning and you're with that pack of people, you know, going from room to room, and you want to ask a question, but you're afraid because if you ask the question, then the attending is going to say, hey, why don't you go look that up, right? I always had that. That was always on a general med, you know, rotation. That was always my feeling. It was like, I got to keep my mouth shut because otherwise I'm going to get nailed.
Yeah, so we get asked questions until we get something wrong, and then
mm-hmm.
the attending that I have right now, her goal is for us to leave the hospital for the day with 15 to 20 questions to look up that night, which is actually...
That's actually good.
I think it's a good way to learn because it's relevant to the mm-hmm. patients, and it helps you when you're using that knowledge, it sticks better.
You can get that evidence-based medicine to help you out, mm-hmm. right? Now, Prisca Kibbe, in what year are you in right now?
So I'm in my third year now.
In your third year. And you have a special story to share with us because you are from St. Louis. St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
You have two children.
Right.
And you're married, of course. But they're not here with you, are they?
Right. They're in St. Louis.
Okay. So how do you keep up with your family?
So we communicate every day. I try to go home every 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
And every night, we say our nighttime prayers together.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure that keeps the kids close to you. How old are your kids right now?
10 and 7 and a half.
Oh, okay. So they're old enough to really know what's going on and know what kind of sacrifices you're making and trying to go through medical school.
And you've done this for 2 years already.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's a challenge. God bless you.
So what's been, and we, you can feel free to chime in. What's been, you're all in your third year, except for Michael, who's in his MBA year, which is kind of between your second and third year, right? Okay. So, what's been your most challenging rotation as a Catholic medical student?
Or for Michael, what's been the most challenging thing you've had to do, you know, class-wise or presentation-wise or whatever that might have done, you know, made you really think? Challenged.
Elizabeth, how about you?
So my hardest rotation overall and as a Catholic specifically was my OBGYN rotation. And for a couple of different reasons. First, I just found parts of OBGYN medicine to just be sad. I found myself going home a lot of times feeling sad for women when they had miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies or especially young women when they would have STDs and not know about it or when they were living promiscuous lifestyles, and finding myself realizing that medicine didn't really have the answer for these people, but the doctors that I was surrounded with were trying to fix them with medicine. And to me, that seemed like a really fruitless labor because medicine doesn't fix those kinds of problems. And it was also really hard because I felt like I always was preparing myself to have to defend my faith at any moment. And I did end up once having to say no to prescribing birth control. And I was telling these two in the car on the way here, they responded by telling me that I would, because I wasn't willing to prescribe contraception, that I would not be able to go into family medicine, internal medicine, emergency medicine, pediatric medicine, or obstetrics and gynecology, which was pretty frustrating, especially sure. Since wow. I know physicians like the two of you and my dad who defy that statement. Right. But I wasn't about to tell my attending that.
You know, what came to mind as I was sitting here listening to you say that, I you know, at the end of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's what kind of popped into my head because, you know, they were trying to intimidate you. They were trying to, in some way, box you in and say, well, you know, you really can't do this. And if you think you can, you're wrong.
Well, I find it to be kept rather narrow-minded because they are eventually going to be faced with someone who believes as we do, who is not going to want those things and is going to refuse those things, and what are they going to do to help them? So if they believe in comprehensive health care for women, then they should be learning more about fertility awareness-based methods and how to help these women in a way that doesn't necessarily need contraception and those types of things. So Prisca, what's been your hardest thing as a third year?
So I think my most challenging moments were when I did pediatrics and looking at both when I did my well-child pediatrics and my inpatient pediatrics. It was really sad seeing these teenagers coming in with small babies who it was evident that they couldn't take care of. And like listening to providers, like offering them options. And it seemed like a common theme that family planning was, why don't you, you know, take some pills? Why don't you, you know, get this kind of family planning method going? I felt like we did an injustice to them by like offering them that, because I feel like based on my faith, that would not be like a solution for them. That's like postponing the problem for them. I felt like we should have done a better job in like educating them and like trying to show them there's a different way to live life that would be more responsible on their part.
Right. I couldn't agree. I think you and Elizabeth have both hinted at one thing, is that many times we're trying to treat social issues with medical treatments and therapies and those types of things. And I've often said, and I say this to young women like you see in the pediatrics clinic or that you see in OBGYN and Michael, I'm sure that you'll see it in the future, is that they don't need a pill. They need love. And they need to learn how to love without becoming pregnant. And they need someone to be an example to them. But I also try to couch them, that, and I know you've said this before too, that they were made to be so much more than what they are. That's the way God created them, and that they can do these things. They don't have to fall into the cycle of what their friends did or their parents did or anybody else did, and that they should take pride in who they are, and that they should realize their self-worth and their self-dignity, that they don't have to do these things. But it just keeps coming back to me. We keep pushing contraception. We've been doing it for 20 or 30 years, but the problem hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten worse. And so to me, it says there needs to be an alternative method for it. And I think the Catholic Church provides exactly that method that we need.
But it's almost like trying to pound in a screw with a hammer. You know, I mean, you're using the wrong tool. Right. I mean, ultimately, this is a spiritual problem, and we are using medical or chemical means in order to fix it.
Right.
You know, and the one thing that I actually, you guys are right now in the throes of it. But, you know, when I used to work at the Indigent Care Clinic that I worked at, I would talk to 13, 14, 15, 16 year old girls about unconditional love, you know, and because I was working in a Christian environment, I was capable of saying those things and not getting my legs cut out from underneath me. You know, but the thing is, that's what's missing. That's the human dignity that these women come in, these young women, very young, and even girls come into you with. They don't understand how beautiful they really are.
Right. And you're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And we have with us three medical students from The Ohio State University, Elizabeth Matheson, Michael Donetto, and Prisca Kibbe. And we're talking about what it's like to be in medical school as a young, faithful Catholic these days. And Michael, I know that you've been involved with the Catholic Medical Student Association since you got here, but you had an experience last summer with the boot camp, as we call it, in the Catholic Medical Association. And tell us a little bit about how it was for you and what you experienced there.
Definitely. So for a few days, me and another med student from Ohio State and med students around the country gathered in Philadelphia for it was a 4 or 5 day boot camp, and this experience allowed us to really understand, get a better theological kind of understanding, and better ways to really defend our faith and practicing our faith as med students and eventual physicians. So felt like the theology and the logic behind everything that was taught to us was really fantastic, and stuff that I felt like I have been able to use and will continue to be able to use to defend our faith and how this impacts our medical practice.
And what Michael's talking about is the Catholic Medical Association in association with the medical student section in the Philadelphia Guild of the Catholic Medical Association puts on what they call a boot camp every year, which is to help medical students to survive situations like you've been in and to understand the Catholic Church's teachings about medicine and our faith, sort of like what we try to do here on the Catholic Doctor Show. And I know, Elizabeth, you've been also, right?
Yes, I went before my first year of medical school, and it was a really great way to start off my medical school journey by being surrounded by 30 other medical students from first year to fourth year from all around the country, and go into it knowing that I wasn't alone, have that extra courage and community with those men and women. And it is really beautiful the way that the boot camp and our faith lay. So the way that we logically, rationally, and also compassionately teach these bioethics topics, and that it is all from a position of love and not judgment or trying to force someone to live a lifestyle that will make them unhappy, but that because it's well ordered and out of love, that you'll ultimately find greater joy by living according to the teachings of Christ and the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Now remind me again, where all the three of you have gone to undergrad. You did not go to a Catholic school, Elizabeth, right?
Elizabeth, you went to Hillsdale.
I went to Hillsdale College in Michigan, which is not a...
nearly a Catholic school.
And we'll feel sorry for Michael, who graduated from the loser school of this year's bowl game.
Yep, Notre Dame.
Oh, my.
Okay. It was tough to beat Ohio State, right?
And I've heard some good Catholic things out of Notre Dame occasionally, so that's good.
Yeah, Michael's now, one of them. First game, where did you go?
And I went to the University of Nairobi.
Okay.
And now, is that because I know that in Africa, a lot of schools do have a Catholic flavor to them in some of the colleges. Was University of Nairobi a purely secular school?
It's purely secular. Okay. It's run by the government.
Oh, I see. So in your case, what kind of coming in, I mean, you obviously you're raised Catholic. What kind of grounding do you feel like you had before you went into medical school in order to be able to, you know, defend your faith?
So I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic schools all the way through high school. And then when I was in college, we had a Catholic chapel in college. And I participated fully in that, mm-hmm. which allowed me a lot of interaction. One of my mentors was a Catholic sister, and so she provided me a lot of like support when I was in school, and I was fortunate enough that my parents were able to also be very supportive. Mm-hmm. And then when I came here, I joined a parish and joined their health ministry, even though I couldn't do much at the time, but I felt like just being with them, talking to them, allowed me a lot to like continue with my faith. And even to date, some of them still provide me very good support.
And Priska, I wanted to ask you kind of along that same line. You know, it's challenging enough to go through medical school, but to go through medical school with your family, you know, 300 miles away or more
across the country.
How has your faith helped you to overcome those difficulties and to succeed in medical school?
So I think the biggest thing for me is like with every day, I look at it, like my husband says, every time you go back to school is time getting closer to you coming back home. And like he says that every Sunday when I go to church, I make sure I say an extra prayer for you. So just that feeling of that, mm-hmm. there's that support. And like he says, you know, the saints are watching over you. If this wasn't God's will, you wouldn't have got where you are now. Mm-hmm. It's been a rough road to get where I am
bet.
Now.
Sure.
And so I feel like that is really good support for me. And then I align myself with people like Elizabeth who provide a lot of like psychological support, which is really great.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like you've really submitted yourself to God's will, and I'm sure to the will of Mary also. With regards to that, and that's really a beautiful thing that we like to see. So you mentioned that you've made these affiliations with all the other medical students, and we know that there is a student section of the Catholic Medical Association there at The Ohio State University. Do you see that organization is growing, that you're getting more and more students who are now wanting to learn more about their faith, or is it still challenging to have the organization grow? Michael, you've been the president of the student section before, right?
Yeah, I think during the year when Elizabeth and I were leading the CMA student section, I definitely noticed it growing in terms of the sign up from the beginning of the year, throughout the year. Some friends who were raised Catholic, not necessarily practicing Catholic, interested, wanting to come to some events, join the listserv, and learn a little bit more about what we had to offer. And from what I've seen over the past year and a half since we've handed the reins over, it seems to be growing. I noticed one small indicator, I guess, is Christmas party every year since I've been here has been continually growing.
Right.
I mean,
well, the Christmas party is a pretty big event for everybody.
Yeah.
Not only for the student section, but for the guild here, the John Paul II Guild, too.
Definitely.
Well, and I think as the student section grows and develops, I mean, we've seen growth in the local guild as well. You know, I'm seeing a lot more different names on the emails and things like that, which makes me really inspired, you know, because I think that, that's, I mean, I draw a lot of inspiration from you guys. I mean, you know, when I see how well you guys articulate the faith and are able to talk about it, and you know, the number of names that are being added, the talks that are going on, I think it's really, really a good thing, and it bodes well for our profession.
No, it's been very impressive. Let me just go around. You're all, Michael, you're going to be a year behind everybody else, but Elizabeth and Prisca, you're now in the process of where you're going to have to decide on what you want to do. How is your experience going through the third year and your faith combined? Where is it leading you in what you want to do in the future? What area of medicine would you like to see yourself in?
So far, I have liked everything, which makes the decision really hard.
No, that's easy. You go into OBGYN.
I haven't done that yet.
No,
I'm
that means
that
you
I'll like it
practice.
Too. So.
You get to do everything. You get to do surgery. You get to do obstetrics. You get to do pediatrics. You get to do family medicine. You get to do it all for a special group of women.
So the only thing that I would say so far I haven't really liked is the big rounds. Uh-huh. They're quite intimidating for me. I don't vocalize my voice very well, and so I always find that I'm being asked to speak up. So I am leaning more towards emergency medicine.
That way
I can do everything, and I can interact with all the other specialties.
That's true.
Right.
And not have to do rounds, so not have to yell at all. Right.
And you know, emergency medicine is the closest to the Good Samaritan, right?
Right.
Now, Elizabeth, any pressure from you coming from home to be an OBGYN or anything else? What are your aspirations?
I am planning on going into emergency medicine as well. I was kind of thinking about emergency medicine from the beginning. And this fall, I had a slight career crisis and really loved family medicine. But
of course.
Yeah, it was pretty great. But I also was at a great Catholic practice at St. Anne's with a doctor that I really admire. So I think that was a big part of my influence to want to go into family medicine more than the medicine itself. I really like the medicine in emergency medicine and the acuity, and I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie. And I find myself not really wanting to know the labs of the patient the next day. And I like being able to hit stat when I order labs. But
do you have a control
really
issue,
like...
Elizabeth?
Maybe a little bit.
But my dad's an OBGYN, and he has been really supportive of me going into emergency medicine. And both my parents do a really great job of helping me to think through these things in terms of specialty choice or even going into medicine to make sure that I'm not making these really big decisions without thinking through all the different aspects of it. So, but I'm really excited. And I've recently thought that I might someday want to do a fellowship in palliative care. Emergency medicine is one of the specialties through which you can get to palliative medicine. And I think that
palliative,
specialty,
in other words, taking care of folks who are at the end of life and
correct,
that kind of thing. Right, exactly.
And I think that would be a really great place to be a Catholic.
And Michael, I don't want to leave you out. You're obviously getting your MBA. We've talked about that. Do you have any thoughts of the future? And you're going to combine your MBA with it, I take it.
Yeah. In terms of specialty, I'm not set in stone on anything. But right now I'm thinking something in internal medicine. We'll see where third year leads me in that decision tree. But in regards to combining the MD and MBA degrees, I'm definitely excited to be able to do that. Hopefully improve how healthcare is delivered, save costs, and really deliver safer, higher quality care to all the patients in the hospital system I work at.
Yeah. You know, for all of us doctors who have been practiced for 25 years, when we hear you young guys saying improving the quality of care, we're like, what's wrong with it?
What's wrong with it before? I don't know.
No,
but you know what? You're absolutely right. I think we all can improve, but I think you all can probably agree with this. I think the Catholic faith that we share provides an even better quality of care than what most people expect. You know, and it may not be in how you're providing the medicine, or we're all going to provide it the same way, but it's in the way you interact with the patient, you know, in that you're seeing the suffering Christ and you're acting as the healing Christ to these patients. And, you know, Dr. Turek has said it before. I really have a lot of admiration for our Catholic medical students and those who have been able to, all three of you, stay true to your faith and to make it through medical school. And I know, Elizabeth, we've talked about some of the troubles you've had in OBGYN, and Michael, you'll face those things, and Priska, you faced them too. But you really do deserve a lot of credit for what you've gone through, and we really have a lot of respect for you for that reason. Thank you.
Well, this has been really cool, and you know, we've been doing this medical student show for kind of recurrently for the last almost 6 years now, mm-hmm. and I really we got to keep doing this. This is good stuff.
As long as they keep having medical students and we still have a show, I think we can.
I think we can do it.
Well, we'll have to find out. We'll have to catch up with you guys once you've made your decisions on what you're going to be doing with residency and where you're going to be going.
Match day show. Match day show.
We get an extra year with you. Well, that sounds wonderful. And we do want to encourage everybody else who's out there thinking about going into medicine, you can still do it as a Catholic doctor.
It's possible.
You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.